It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Barry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Quentin. My partner, Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors, will be alongside here in just a few moments, and we are kicking off the show with Mike Marfell, professional fisherman, on the line with us. Mike, how are you, dude?
I am good. I'm the least professional fisherman ever.
Listen,
I had the worst tournament of my life, last tournament with me and the 10 horse. So
now, wait a minute. Yeah, is this since the one down at Table Rock? Is this another tournament?
Yeah, they just keep getting worse.
All right. Well, we had 10 horse on. Yeah. We had Gabe 10 horse Monty on the show with us last week, and I was going to start.
He didn't mention how horrible it was.
No, he did not. Maybe he was trying to protect your reputation.
Maybe
he was trying to defend your honor.
As good of a fisherman as that guy is, and I'm not too shabby myself, he did not catch a single fish nor even think he had a bite on tournament day.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know what? So was it last weekend?
Weekend before that.
Okay, I was going to say, so no. It was actually after we talked to him. That's interesting. It's, you know what? Well, let's just dive into the conversation right here, because one of the things that I brought up with Gabe last week was something that you said that has really stuck with me over the last few weeks. Mark, who'll be here in a minute, you know, Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors, we talked about this last
week. Husband of Felicia.
Yeah, that's right. We talked about this last week. But what you said about that Table Rock tournament, that you've made, that you came to the decision that basically, like, hey, if I want to continue to compete at a certain level, I'm going to have to make the investment into the front facing sonar. And I asked
this Gabe, just emphasized it.
Yeah,
emphasized
so it 100%. I asked Gabe about that statement last week. I asked the 10 horse about that, and he doubled down on your point completely. That yeah, you know, like. It's not that you can't, especially if you know a body of water, like you at the Lake of the Ozarks, or, you know, like if you know a body of water, like the back of your hand, then maybe you don't, you know, then maybe you'd be able to compete or be fine in a tournament without that, those electronics.
There's going to be a times of the year where you can compete on a body of water.
But
early pre-spawn is not it.
Yeah, but
it
he
is
said.
Not it.
Yeah, but he said if you want to compete at a certain level in today's environment when it comes to competitive fishing, you're at a big time disadvantage if you don't have that technology. So yeah, so tell us about that. Tell us about that tournament, and you said this sort of even drove home that point even further.
Yeah, it was so crazy. So we were there for 3 days, and between the two of us, I think we caught a total of 6 fish. 2 of those were crappie. 1 was a drum, and only 2 of them were keeper size bass, and they were barely keeper size bass. I was running, dude. I fished up by the dam. I fished the Horseshoe Bend area. I fished up past Hurricane Deck. I fished around the Tantera area. I bounced all over. I was using my 10-mile rule. If I wasn't getting bit, we ran 10 miles. And we were hitting bluff ends, channel swings, secondary points, all the stuff that you should be hitting this time of year. Up deeper, up shallow on those areas. You would be proud of me. I threw a freaking A-rig 99% of the time until tournament day at about 1 when I didn't have a fish. I was like, screw it. I'm going back to the jig.
Yeah.
We never got any feedback, Tony. If you don't get bites, you don't know what's going on. And like me and Gabe were talking, if you had forward facing sonar, you would at least know that you had one, follow it. And maybe you should slow it down, speed it up, change the color, something. But we just could not put anything together. It was horrible. It was frustrating. It was, And then I'm thinking, well, everybody's having a rough day. There was four bags over 20 pounds.
Wow.
I think 23 pounds only got fourth place. Wow. I think, so there was a lot of guys that sacked him, and then there was a bunch of guys that caught small limits, and then there was a bunch of people that didn't weigh a fish, and we were one of those people.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. If it was just a struggle across the board, but it sounds like some folks were able to find some success. And what's really interesting, and I didn't talk about this last week. I intended to. We just all the conversations we had last week, I never had time to really get into it. But that same weekend, so two weekends ago, this is the March 15th weekend. People listen on podcasts and they listen on different days of the weekend. So just kind of, you know, let folks know when we're recording this. Middle of March, that same weekend, two weekends ago, I was at the lake. We were down at the lake and, with our family, I didn't take the boat out because we were only down there. We were basically only down there for Saturday. We went down on Friday night and, came home late on Saturday. So we're basically only down there for Saturday afternoon. So it wasn't worth getting, you know, uncovering the boat and getting it all taken down and all of that. But my kids, who are more and more into fishing every year, which I love, you know, they wanted to go fishing, and so we went down on the docks and the bank, and we walked a good, you know, you can get to a lot of places in our cove, as you know, just from the bank.
Yep.
And I've had a lot of success fishing off the bank, and we fished for probably 4 hours, me and the kids, and we didn't, like you said, not only did we not catch anything, we didn't touch anything, we didn't sniff. Right. Anything. And I didn't know, like, I, you know, I'm just a dad fishing off the bank, you know, in my cove, like, you know, I, you know, who knows what's wrong with me, but I did find it weird that, like, I can't even believe, like, even my son, like, throwing worms and bobbers in to try to catch bluegill, like, wasn't getting anything.
I think the fish were in such a small percentage of the water. If that makes sense, that if you weren't landing on them at the right time,
yeah,
you just weren't going to catch anything.
So does that have something to do with the time of the year? Was it some kind of pre-spawn behavior that they were not spread out or in the places that they were before? Because I thought it was weird that we didn't catch anything, but again, I am not you. So, you know, like me having a fishing trip and not catching a fish is not as rare as you not catching a fish. So it makes me feel a little bit better about myself, actually, that
I
struggled on the same.
I weekend. Understand that. So, well, I don't know, Tony. What was amazing to me is Lake of the Ozarks, which is, as you know, has a little more water color to it. It's not as deep as Table Rock. And 2 weeks after that super, super cold tournament I fished at Table Rock, the water was colder at Lake of the Ozarks than it was at Table Rock. And the only thing I can figure is I don't know if you knew, but they drew it down like 3 feet to get me to Winter Pool, like in a week and a half's time.
Dude, that was my theory.
That they sucked that much water through it that, you know, it cooled the water off.
We were standing in places that we would normally be catching fish.
Oh, sure.
Like we were standing on a bank.
Winter pool.
Yeah, that we were standing on the bank that should be 2 or 3 feet underwater. So, I mean, it was definitely, you know, we were on a shelf, right in front of the condo sign of our point, a shelf that you can usually fish right up against the wall. We were standing, you know, 10 feet in front of the wall on the ground, and still casting into the water, you know, and the docks were really low. You know, usually the bridge from the bank to the docks are a straight line. You know, they were like at 45 degree angle going down. Exactly. I mean, it was noticeably like big. I mean, we're all used to, you know, anybody that goes down to the lake on a regular basis is used to the fluctuation, but this was dramatically low. And I figured that played a role in it, but I thought I would get a bite in the core. I mean, we fished for hours. God love them. The kids, They were wanting to fish so bad that they were willing to sit down there and stick it out, and we still had a blast, because a bad day fishing is still a better day than anything else. But yeah, it was a tough go. But now this is starting to make a little more sense that maybe there were no fish where we were.
That's very possible. Well, the thing is, Tony, 6 foot low is normal winter pool. But it had just been 3 foot higher, and they decided to pull it down from, you know, getting ready for the spring rains that fast. And I think that cooled the water off one, and maybe bunched the fish back up. You know, like I told you, when they're moving into spawn, they're not going to go backwards generally, but they'll put the brakes on wherever they are. And I hit those places. I hit, you know, like I said, main lake points, channel swings, bluff ends, bluff cuts, you know, things that generally you can get yourself a spotted bass, you know, or something. And just nothing, man. I mean, me and Gabe were looking at each other. I feel bad for him. I mean, we air the good, the bad, and the ugly. So anybody that watches that video is going to be like, these guys are horrible.
Well, you can learn as much or maybe more from a bad fishing trip than you can from a good one. So
always learn more from a loss than a win, no matter what it is, fishing, hockey, motocross, it don't matter.
Yeah.
You learn more from those. I mean, in this sport, you get used to not winning, but you want to be consistent. It's been a long time since I've not weighed a fish, let alone a limit. Usually I can muster a limit, even if it's not big. So it reinforced it that those guys that all were at the top with those 20-plus pound bags all told me they wouldn't have caught a single one of them without forward-facing sonar.
So that was going to kind of wrap up the conversation back to where we began it with the forward-facing sonar. So instead of you and Gabe flying around the lake and wasting an hour here, an hour there, you would have been able to pull in, activate that forward-facing sonar, and you'd have been able to see within a minute instead of an hour if this was somewhere you should be staying or moving. And that just that alone makes all the difference in the world in a tournament when the conditions are what they were for you guys a couple weeks ago.
We could have hit 15 to 20 more bluff ends or 15 to more channel swings because we could just pull up on it, shine that dude in there. If they're there, we fish for them. If not, we pick it up and go to the next one. And even when we were fit, if we seen them when we were fishing for them, and say, let's just use the jerkbait for an example, you could see the fish come up and follow it and look at it, but not take it. You can change your cadence. You can pop it twice or let it set longer, snap it real hard, you know, whatever the case may be, change the color. But when you're not getting any feedback physically and you don't have forward facing sonar to give you that feedback that the feedback we should have been getting was they're not here, dummy, move. But you don't know that when the water is only 44 degrees, you got to fish slow. So, you know, I always tell you this time of year, you got to fish slow, but still cover water. And you can do that 1,000 times better with forward facing sonar.
One thing that you said a couple weeks ago and something that, Ten Horse backed up last week is that in all these struggles that we may be having right now, we are right around the corner from explosion, from go time.
Yes, all this rain we're getting right now, because I can hear it beating on the flat roof here at the office, it's coming down. And, all this rain, the dogwoods are blooming. That water temperature starts to get up into the low 50s. You know, it's going to be on. The fish will move to the bank. You won't necessarily have to have forward-facing sonar to catch them. You're still going to be more efficient with it, though, regardless. It's just a stone cold fact. I mean, it's a professional level, the Elite Series, the Bassmasters. Mm-hmm. You got all these guys that are in the top 10 championship Sunday. You don't recognize it. I've been following the sport my whole life. I recognize them because I follow the sport, but it's not the Swindles, the Iaconellis, the Van Dams, the Skeet Reeses. All the old heads are getting pounded on by these young guys that are utilizing forward facing sonar. Mm-hmm. And like me and Gabe said, even though those guys are competitive and they just have these younger guys don't have the other old method in their head at all.
Yeah.
All they know is that.
When does that full blown go time start? You think is that 1 week away? Is that 1 month away? How when is that going to be? When are we going to be in
two
like,
weeks?
Full
two
blown?
Weeks. Yeah. Two weeks.
So end of the
I
month.
I would say in 2 weeks at Lake of the Ozarks. It's right. already on in the South. You know, like you right. get down Alabama, you know, Tennessee. It's already going on, Texas. But yeah, that good pre spawn. Go beat the bank is 2 weeks away, I would say.
We're gonna have a more detailed fishing report a little bit later on in the show when Mark is in studio with us. But what's your quick Cliff Notes version of your of the fishing report this week?
Don't listen to me. No. I was very disheartened.
Write down everything I say and then throw it in the trash.
Yeah, I was almost to where I was just going to go home and get on Facebook Marketplace and everything was for sale. I was going to start playing hockey again. I was like, screw this fishing stuff.
Well.
No, right now, Tony, it's still the Alabama rig still dominating. Alabama rig, jerkbait, and a jig, a spinnerbait, or a small swimbait. And like I said, I did gain something from that weekend of sucking is I got more comfortable and caught fish on the Alabama rig. Mm. I threw it more than I ever have. And I came home and got on baitworks.com and used 10 horse 10 to get 10% off and ordered me $150 Ooh, nice. Worth of Alabama rig stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to go out and utilize it more and more. I'm going to leave everything else at home and just go throw that Alabama rig at times like this to get better at it. I need to do that. It's just so dominant at this time of year.
Yeah.
My Hit advice to people that don't know how, yep. it's just use it. Just imagine it's a giant spinnerbait. That's all.
Yep. Yeah, getting those reps.
But you don't know what depth
comfortable
it's at.
With it. Yeah, getting comfortable with it and getting those reps just like anything else. That's the most important thing. Mike, really appreciate your time, as always, buddy. And don't forget, you can check out Mike and Gabe's exploits on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. And, of course, almost every week with us here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show. Mike Marfell, really appreciate your time, my friend. We will talk to you again soon.
See you, Q. Have a good night.
Mike.
Yeah. Take
you bet.
All right, like I said, my partner, Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors, will be joining us in studio here in just a few minutes. I want to remind you as we talk about the being right around the corner from the full-blown spring weather and spring activities, getting outside, enjoying the great outdoors. Of course, grilling comes along right with that stuff. And make sure next time you're out barbecuing, you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. This week we celebrated St. Louis Day. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is a local business right here, started, owned in the St. Louis area. And they have been ranked the number one consumer-rated charcoal in the country 9 years in a row. So you're supporting local business that's doing it right. Of course, you're also supporting local industry, as Missouri is the number one charcoal maker in the country. But Rockwood Lump Charcoal, if you've not grilled with a Rockwood Lump Charcoal before and you're more used to the traditional briquettes, you'll be blown away and you'll never go back after one time with the Rockwood. None of the filler, none of the extra materials, the junk that's in the briquettes. You get it burns faster, it burns hotter. You get a whole lot more out of your 20-pound bag of Rockwood than you do out of the 20-pound bag of briquettes. It's just a superior experience across the board. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is available in over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. And keep it here for more Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL. This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show. Tony Colombo in studio here with producer Quentin, and my partner Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors is here with us now. Big thanks to Mike Marfell for joining us in that first segment. He was beaten down again, Q.
Yes.
He's had two bad tournaments in a row for Mike, and I think we talked last week, Mark, about he had a tournament a couple weeks ago at Table Rock, and then he had one that was about a month ago actually at Table Rock now, and then 2 weeks ago he had one with Ten Horse with Gabe, and you know, we'll have our fishing report for you here in a little bit. I think we're getting back full swing on the fishing report.
Now people are getting out fishing.
Yeah, and, this is the time of year.
It's the time of year for sure.
He said that he had another tough week, and I asked him about the forward facing sonar because that's the thing. And we had Gabe Montgomery had the Ten Horse Monty on with us last week, and he sort of doubled down on what Mike said about if you want to compete at that level, you know, is that you can just like you were been able to do for hundreds of years, you can have a great day fishing without technology and all of that. But these guys that are at that level now, he said that he had made up his mind a couple, you know, that at that Table Rock tournament, that if he wants to continue to compete at this level, he's got to get that forward facing sonar. And he said that this tournament, the Lake of the Ozarks 2 weeks ago, was just solidified it. Yeah, because it was a struggle for these guys out there, and he said the only guys that that did produce were the ones that had that technology. And this is Lake of the Ozarks, where Mike is like,
that's his home turf. Yeah.
Yeah, he knows that like the back of his hand. So, sounds like that's making a really big impact on the industry.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, it's changing so much.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, for the people who, you know, or just catching for fun and stuff, you know, they don't need that.
They don't need
For the people who are real serious, you know, and want to compete in tournaments and are, you know, or just are that, want to catch those big fish for their personal bests and stuff. Yep. It's people got to, it's almost a must now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't think of anything that you would know better than me, but can you think of anything that's had that kind of impact on that, like, you know, we've seen fads come and go. He talked about the Alabama rig a whole bunch. He actually made a commitment to trying to throw the Alabama rig more at this last tournament that he was in, because he's like, I feel like I've got to expand my comfort level. You know, like what we talked about the Alabama rig, you know, whenever it 6-7 years ago, whenever it took over the world. That's a fad that comes and goes. Nobody ever said you can't fish without an Alabama rig, but they're saying like you can't compete without this forward facing sonar. Have you ever seen anything that's come in?
No, I don't think anything has had that big of a change.
You know?
I mean, it's crazy. The people that are good at it and have figured it out, they just eliminate all the dead water.
Yeah,
and they go target those big fish. They see them. They target them.
This was, as we're talking, and I mentioned earlier as we're recording this, because people listen on, you know, we have the podcast. We put this show out as a podcast right after we get off the air every week, and it airs on Saturdays and Sundays on News Talk STL. So guys listen to us at different times. We're talking about the middle weekend, the March 15th weekend, as we're having this conversation, and he mentioned that, you know, like, not only, you know, about this forward-facing sonar and all that, but I unbeknownst to me, and I didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, I just didn't have time to bring it up, that same weekend, 2 weekends ago, I was at the lake with my family, and my kids were wanting to go fishing really bad, and we were just down there basically on Saturday, and it wasn't worth uncovering the boat, and the boat hasn't been out in a couple months, so there's a lot of work whenever we do that, and it wasn't that deep. We didn't have time to get that involved. So we just fished off the bank for a few hours and nothing. I mean, nothing. Now, I'm just thinking, you know, I'm a dad with his kids fishing off the bank, you know, don't know what I'm doing, you know, but after talking to Mike, he was like, no, I think that same weekend is when he struggled so much. You know, it was just a really difficult weekend for various reasons, weather-wise. You know, the Lake of the Ozarks always has its own variables, like they take, you know, how much water they,
the water,
they drain. I mean, it was extremely low. I mean, like 6 feet lower than it usually is. We were standing and fishing on places that are usually three or four feet underwater.
Yep.
Yeah, like by 3 or 4 feet underwater, and that's where we were standing and fishing. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of weirdness that impacts, but it just really drove home the point that, you know, how much of a difference those, you know, like, had I known that, he said, Mike said to me just a moment ago, he said, there probably just weren't any fish there. I mean, my son wasn't catching them with a bobber and a worm.
Right, yep. I mean, if you can't catch a bluegill with a bobber and a worm,
they're just not there.
They're not there, yep.
And, yeah, it just is such an eye-opener. But the good news is, for anybody that has struggled for any reason, if you have been out in the last couple weeks, is that we're right around the corner from just go time across the
board. Yeah, it's getting ready to bust loose.
Yeah, he said, Mike said, you know, like by the end of the month for sure, you know, all of these rivers and lakes in our area are going to be.
See, we've been getting good reports off the smaller bodies of water.
Yeah.
You know, your farm ponds, because they warm up faster.
Mm-hmm.
And your 100 acre lakes. If you go
further down south, you'll find that too.
So those places have already started getting pretty good.
You know. So I was going to ask you, because, you know, when we were talking to Mike just now, you know, he's pretty focused on bass fishing. Is it the same timeline for catfish and other, like,
so crappie kind of comes in around the same time as bass, as far as, you know, when they're getting ready to, you know, they do the spawn and stuff like that. Catfish are a little bit behind them. Some of the other fish are a little bit behind them. Those two come in fairly early, you know, and then bluegill usually peak fish in bluegill season is the month of May, usually between Memorial Day or between Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Gotcha.
You can pretty much bank on that's going to be your best window for bluegill.
Gotcha. Right. And so when does the, especially on the big rivers, like where you guys are there in Alton on the Mississippi, and then the Missouri is right there, obviously, also. The Illinois River is there also. When does that catfish season, like when's that starting gun go off?
So it's starting about, usually at the end of March is when it starts getting really good. And then it'll run really solid through about Memorial Day. And then there'll be a window of about 3 weeks after that. Usually Father's Day's right in the middle of that, where the spawn is peaking. They don't bite as well during that time. So you got about 3 weeks there, it's dead. And then once June gets here, end of June, then it picks back up.
Yeah, yeah. When do we typically see those 100-pound fish caught? Is it in the second half of the season, or is it at the beginning?
So you'll see them, really, you almost see them any time, but then you get the best chance for bigger ones, or really big ones, is when the females have got their eggs.
Gotcha.
And when they have their eggs, that's when you really have the best chance of catching one, because they might have 15 pounds of eggs in them.
So obviously it's always different. Like, you know, just like any other fishing, just like fishing trip anytime, you can catch the fish of a lifetime on any cast, you know, by accident even. But by and large, when those big fish, those 100-pound fish are caught, those catfish that we see every year, we always see a couple of triple digits.
Alex had one in his tournament, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about that last week. Yeah, that's just, man, early on, just getting a 100-pounder. That's incredible. Are those typically sort of out of the blue? I mean, the guys obviously are experienced, and they know what they're doing, and they know where to go and all of that stuff. But are they out of the blue, or are these, like, they're hunting that one specific.
They
know that that fish is there,
or they know it's in
the neighborhood, right? Yeah. And they, so is that typically when these guys do catch the 100-pound plus fish, something that they've been tracking for a while?
And then also these fish seem to move in. They call them herds out there. So the guys that are out there all the time, that they'll, and they do seem to move as a group up and down the river.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be.
Thought
down.
They were schools of fish.
Yeah, they call them herds. But they might be down around.
They catch 100-pound catfish. They can call them whatever they want. They know more than I do.
You know, they might be down by Crystal City for a while, and then 2 weeks later, that herd is kind of moved up to, maybe it's around the downtown area, or it goes downstream.
That's interesting.
So they kind of move, and there's a lot of, they kind of move together.
Huh?
So they try to find out where, and there, of course, there's multiple herds, so they're always moving around.
But. Right. So, but so it's not, because that's what I was wondering. Is it like, do all of the herds go to the same spots at the same time of year?
They sort of.
So it's just different groups going in different directions. So one herd could be in the downtown area or the Alton area one month.
It, you know, and then in 3 weeks later, it might be out by Washington, Missouri on the Missouri. You know, it just, they move around. I think they're following the food.
I don't even want to know how, I mean, like. There's probably no way, even if we had hours and hours, to really explain every minute of it. And I know that we talk to the guys that do this. You know, a lot of the people that contribute to our fishing report, you know, would have a better story than this. But do you understand at all the basics of how to track something like that? Like, how do you even know that this herd of fish is there, and then there's this one big one in there?
I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, they do see them on the electronics, and then so they say, okay, we got a bunch around in this area, and then they'll move on. So they'll talk to the people fishing the other areas to see what direction that group moved to.
Right.
And, you know, and that's kind of, you know, they just, I know some of it's some assumptions that, we think this is the same group of fish, you know, and it might very well be, could be a different one, but. That's kind of what they're looking at. Is
seems to come true for them.
Seems to come true for them.
Yeah. How, speaking of that, if you want to take advantage of some of that knowledge that these guys have that have been, you know, fishing on the river for a long time, it's one of the services that you guys offer there at Bluff City Outdoors that you can hook them up.
Yeah, hook them up with one of the guys
with guided fishing tours.
That can cut years off of your learning curve.
Sure can. So how about, like, to me? I know that you've been working with, we've always, since, you know, before even this show, on the old show at the old place, we've been talking about the guided fishing tours and, you know, you working with that community there at Bluff City Outdoors. Has that remained kind of an unknown sort of secret that people don't take advantage of, or are people learning more about this idea?
Yeah, like, it's getting pretty
is
popular.
Is it growing in
popularity? And you're getting more. You're actually getting more guides into the business, which is good. I mean, you know, it's really good for the tourism in the area. It's just because some of them would get so busy they just couldn't take on any additional customers.
That's great.
You know, yeah, it's a good thing to have.
I think that's a great problem to have, and I think it's encouraging that people know, you know, like, that they're taking advantage of it and know that service is even there to take advantage of. Because it does, like you said, it could take years off your learning curve, first of all. Second of all, it could just create for a really great day.
Yes, you know, I mean,
out on the water, and there's just so many
knowing
positives.
That, you know, just the consumer out there knowing that you don't have to go to saltwater to catch 100-pound fish.
Right.
You don't have to go to the Great Lakes to catch big fish.
Right.
You can catch them here. They're in our backyard.
Yeah, which is absolutely incredible. We're going to get into the fishing report here in a few minutes, but another thing that we need to remind folks of is, and we'll probably touch on this, we'll be touching on this a lot over the next couple weeks, but the spring sale is just a couple weeks away.
Yeah, just a couple weekends. Let's see, what's today, the 14th? So it starts 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
2 weeks, you know, it's the 28th through the
31st. Yeah. And
most everything in the shop's on sale as far as fishing side.
Right.
And a lot of good deals, a lot of new product. And, you know, we're hoping to try to get a couple of the, you know, like Eric Morey, get him hanging down there for some time and people come in and talk to the fishing magician and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a lot of fun. What are some of those new products, and what are some of the highlights of the sale this year? I know you're still kind of putting some of it together, but as far as you know, where you're at this point, like, what are some of those new products that you mentioned?
Yeah, so, like, for the bass fishermen, we really expanded our line of rods. We put in a lot of St. Croix, which that's just a great rod, been around a long time. You know, they have rods from $100 up to $300, so they cover the gamut. We got new baits from Nomad Designs. They got some very unique hard baits with vibration and stuff. And an Evergreen, that's an upper-end Japanese bait from Daiwa.
Yeah.
Got a nice selection of those in. Put in a lot more Yamamoto.
Mm-hmm.
We put in a company with Black Label. It's a custom balsa bait. So they're, you know, handmade, hand-painted. And
it sounds like I need to go shopping at Bluff City Outdoors.
They're pretty neat. They're beautiful. And Eric Morey was our test. He really tested. He goes, man, they catch a lot of fish. So
nice.
So we put in a good selection of those. And then, you know, to get some new crappie baits in. Catfish and stuff is not as much new except Ancient Mariner. Spiro has got his new albatross reel. That is, we had a few down at CatCon that he was able to put together, and we sold them really fast because they're beautiful, they're tough, they're rugged, and got his great warranty. We'll have those, a good selection of those in by then. So actually shipping them this
week. Have you talked to Spiro recently?
I am him almost every day.
Oh, you know.
We'll spend a few things and, you know, just see what's going on, you know.
That's all. That was cute. That was before you, I think. Were you here for the Spiro story? 45 minutes alone in the ocean fighting a fish?
No. Oh, no. Fighting a fish.
9 hours.
Fighting a fish for 9 hours on a 45-foot boat?
Boat, yep.
Alone? What? Alone in the middle of the ocean fighting a fish for 9 hours, sustained an injury.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Like an arm, like a fairly serious like muscle or arm injury.
And then, still got the fish in.
And still got the fish in. It's one of the most classic stories that's ever been told on this show.
Okay.
We'll revisit it at some point. We've replayed it a couple times over the years. It's such a good one, and that's Ancient Mariner. Spiro from Ancient Mariner.
Yep, yeah. Spiro from Ancient Mariner.
Yeah, that's great stuff. All right, we're going to get into that fishing report for you as we are right around the corner from full-blown fishing season. Daylight saving is here, and it's a great time to be enjoying the great outdoors. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101, on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
So as we mentioned, it is the middle of March. It's daylight saving time. We are here, baby. We are getting into the time of year to be outside, to enjoy the great outdoors, especially to get out of the water and do some fishing. So we are going to get back into the full-blown fishing report here each and every week that you guys can count on. We know a lot of guys take our podcast with them on a weekly basis, take us out there on the water with them and listen to the fishing report. And that helps, you know, with your weekend trips and things like that. Speaking of the podcast, we put this show out as a podcast right after we get off the air every week. So, of course, you can hear us on News Talk STL every Saturday at 11 a.m., every Sunday at noon. But if you subscribe to the podcast, you can listen to us anytime you want. And we are basically on every podcast platform. So if you listen to podcasts, whatever your preferred location platform is to listen to podcasts, make sure that you are subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoor Show so you never miss anything and any of the great conversations that we have here. Also, another quick reminder that at the end of the month, we're just a couple weeks away from the spring sale at Bluff City Outdoors. Bluff City Outdoors is about a mile east of Fast Eddie's in Alton on Broadway there in Alton. Open every single day. And mark your calendars March 28th through the 31st. Take advantage of the annual. And it really is a one-time, once-a-year opportunity to really take advantage of some awesome deals across the board, especially when it comes to the fishing gear out at Bluff City Outdoors. So make sure you are visiting Bluff City Outdoors for that spring sale, the 28th through the 31st of this month, March. Make sure you're checking it out. All right, my partner Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, is here with that fishing report. Take it away, my friend.
Okay, we'll get started. First stop, Truman Lake, Jordan Lear. He's a guide and a buddy out there. Crappie, good. Fish 8 to 20 feet of water, 3 to 10 feet deep. In the mouths of the creeks, two-thirds of the way back in the creeks using jigs or minnows. Catfish are fair, anchoring in the mouths of the creeks and on the main lake flats, 5 to 15 feet with fresh-cut shad. A bass, fair, fish the main lake points in the creeks with jerk baits, wiggle warts or rock crawlers in the creeks and the coves. Yeah, getting close to the spawning pockets on the transition banks or I messed that up.
Been a couple months. It's been a couple months. Yeah, you got to get the rust off. Yeah, you're fine. You're totally fine.
Yeah, Alabama rigs are working well. Walleye, fair, fish way up the rivers and the creeks, casting jigs. in on the main lake and secondary points with jerk baits. White bass and hybrids fare, fish the creeks and up the river arms as they're making their spawning runs. 3-inch paddle tails and crappie jigs are working in white and chartreuse color combos on them. Eric Morey of Carlisle, quick report on crappie. He said crappie are biting well on jigs and minnows in the brush and are also being caught out in the open water. And he said just at multiple depths. Just got to find them. Local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey again. Largemouth have been pushed up to the main lake points and will be approaching the shallows quickly as the water temps rise and are currently hitting jigs, spinners, and crankbaits. Catfish are biting well and are very active right now, biting on cut shad. Wren, Fred Mooney out there. Lake level is 405.9, water temp 54 degrees. Fish are staging up in the shallows, 10 feet and under. Slip corks and minnows on the laydowns and stumps are super effective right now. Wren's still, it's been on fire. Mm-hmm. Southern Illinois Lakes, Gabe Montgomery.
10 Horse Monty.
Yep. Southern Illinois water temps are in the mid-50s on most of the lakes. Are still clear, except for some stain in the creeks. So he's been on the water twice in the past 7 days, and the majority of the bass are still in late winter slash pre-spawn mode. So they've been seeing a lot of shad in the deeper water. A jerk bait and a jig head minnow is a great option right now. I also caught several fish on a half-ounce Cumberland Pro Jigs Procaster jig in green pumpkin and black and blue. And he said, put a touch of orange on the tip of your jig trailer. The slow-moving bait bite will happen soon, or the shallow-moving bait bite will happen soon. If the weather holds up, late March will be dynamite. Tight lines are good times. And I just know from people coming in the shop, basically the small bodies of waters are coming on first.
Yeah.
Smaller ponds, the stuff under 100 acres and stuff, that they're already catching a lot of fish, a lot of crappie.
And that has everything to do with the warmth, the temperature.
Yes, the water, those smaller bodies.
Those smaller bodies warm up faster than the big bodies, and that's what...
That's what gets it all going.
Yeah, that's what kind of starts the starting guys. Is that it for the fishing report?
It's it for the fishing
report. Perfect, because I did have another question, you just mentioned it right there, too, about Wren Lake. We talked about it all last year, about particularly the crappie bite out at Wren Lake. But just, I mean... It's been on fire across the board, but the crappie fishing at Wren Lake has
been phenomenal.
Outstanding. You had mentioned this a couple months ago, and it's kind of stuck in my head about how bodies of water can be cyclical and how Wren Lake seems to be starting a cycle of just
it's
on fire.
It's
fishing.
Been on fire for basically about 5 years now.
Yeah,
and you know, some of these bodies of water, they do cycle over, and, you know, and then you go back in time, you know, Wren Lake was just struggling.
Yeah.
You know, bait shops can hardly make it out there, but now that, you know, now they just sell minnows like a madman. It's just when that fishing is good, I think they've done a really good job of having good spawns every spring, and that seems to be the key. They haven't had these ones where they... Water gets real high, the fish go in to spawn, and then the water drops out, and all the eggs end up being exposed.
Yeah.
So they've had good spawns, and if they keep it up, it'll stay great.
So that's what I was going to ask you. Is it generational? Is it just something that is going to happen naturally with a body of water? It'll have, you know, a decade of lights out on fire fishing, and then it could you know, slow down for a little while? Or is it... Does the care for the lake
that seems to have a lot to do with it?
Yeah, does that have a lot more?
That seems to have a lot to do with it, especially these bigger bodies of water.
Yeah, so they're just taking care of it better. They're helping things along with the spawn.
You know, it just seems to be like Carlisle's really, from a crappie perspective, it's really coming on the last couple of years.
You know, that's another one, and we'll probably talk about Carlisle. More this year than we have in the past. I grew up camping. I was my grandparents belonged to a camping club, and it was the second weekend of every month, 10 months out of the year. It was only December and January were the only 2 months of the year that they didn't camp, and we would go all over the Midwest, and Carlisle was like in hot rotation. You know, it'd be something that we went to two or three times a year. I don't know if you remember, they used to have a big water slide out there at Carlisle. So back in those days. And it was a big, beautiful lake, but it wasn't that known for fishing. Yep. It really didn't have a big fishing community around it. But as we've been doing this show and as I've been talking
really
to you.
It's really picked up.
Yeah, it's really picked up. And is that because... the city, the people that manage the parks departments and things like that, that manage that area are just focusing on it and doing a better job of it, or is it just one of those cyclical things?
I think it, you know, because it's the Corps of Engineers that controls the level,
yeah.
You know, and it's because they're flood control lakes. And I just think we've happened to have the right kind of springs where we haven't had the massive flooding where they need to get the water out of there real fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been kind of dry. So when the water comes up, it sort of, they just hold it, you mm-hmm. know, they don't have to release it. Because, you know, they don't have to.
Right.
You know,
right.
When you're in flood conditions and stuff, if the water comes up and then the river drops below, you got to get it out
gotta
of there.
Got to do it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's just been one of the really cool positive stories of some of the, you know, the lakes in our area, and particularly in southern Illinois, that has been cool to hear about Carlisle and getting a fishing report from Carlisle and hearing about, you know, the success the guys are having out there because – like I said, growing up, it just wasn't really, and I mean, yep. It was like that for you, right? I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
it just wasn't one of the lakes.
It wasn't known for
if you
that.
Were going to go fishing, that was not at the top of your
right.
list. And that now it's getting to be one of those, just like Wren Lake. I mean, Wren Lake was always known for fishing, but here in the last several years, it's just been
on fire.
So it's so good to hear
and
about.
Wren's just, it's got so many big crappie in it.
Yes.
You know, that's what
yes.
those people struggle because it's got that slot limit to get their smaller fish.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. That is Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. This is the Bluff City Outdoors Show. Once again, mark your calendars for the big spring sale, March 28th through the 31st out there at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton. And, of course, once again, make sure you are subscribed to our podcast. We put this show out as a podcast every week right after we get off the air, so you never miss anything that happens here on the show. For Mark McMurray and producer Quinn, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoor Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Best believe you'll know what I got 'em for.